Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Today I watched a documentary called 16 Shots. It's a Showtime production produced by Jamie Calvin. He's that freelance journalist who a lot of people say is the seed for the revelation of the video of Laquan McDonald's shooting by Jason Van Dyke. He's in our studio. Welcome to the show. How are you?
It's good to be with you.
You agree with that? Were it not for your intrepid reporting, we never would have seen that video?
You know, I actually think there's another way to put it. If it wasn't for a whistleblower in law enforcement who reached out about a week after the incident with the information that what had been reported in the media, you know, was not at all what had happened, that in fact it was horrific. And that individual was the person who made known that there was dash cam video.
And made it known to you?
And made it known to me.
Called you, somebody in law enforcement?
Called a close colleague.
And who was that on the inside? Who's the deep throat on this?
I've never disclosed
you
the
do
identity.
Know who it is?
I do.
Is it a Chicago police officer?
I can't say.
Yeah. I've got a lot of questions about that, but maybe...
But I think it's a lot of people have contributed over the course of this drama we've been engaged in the city. But I think that single individual, you subtract that person... And we'd never know the name. Look,
really, you think this would have gone away?
It would have gone away. I wouldn't have covered it. I mean, I get a lot of credit for the reporting, but it was only because I got the nudge.
Particularly because, as your documentary points out, Carol Marine and others said, we defer to the police. We believe them.
Yeah.
And we have so many stories like this. We can't track them all down. Somebody said, hey, I don't think that's what really happened. If you track down the truth on every single story of somebody being shot, well, it would be 50 last week. Nobody has the resources.
Nobody has the resources in terms of the reporting. And it's just really inherently difficult reporting.
Okay, so this is a revelation, though. Well, if we're going to play a couple of sound bites here, and you just referenced this. Jamie Calvin's in our studio. 16 Shots. Showtime, right?
Showtime.
Can I see that on TV right now?
You can see it tonight at 8 o'clock. That's the first airing of it.
So I saw a screener. Nobody else has seen it publicly.
We did a premiere last week.
Right.
With a big 450-seat auditorium full.
On TV, it'll be the first time tonight?
First time tonight. And then, there'll be recurring Showtime. Opportunities.
It's 90 minutes well invested. Okay, so think about this. This is how the mainstream media of Chicago, based on what they knew, first reported the death of Laquan McDonald.
Breaking news from Chicago's southwest side. A 17-year-old boy is shot and killed by police.
Chicago police say they had no choice but to shoot a 17-year-old boy who threatened them with a knife.
The teen suffered a gunshot wound to the chest. He was taken to Mount Sinai Hospital in critical condition, and that is where he died. Fraternal Order of Police spokesman Pat Camden says he lunged at one of them with the knife, and as soon as that happened, they shot him. Police say this was a clear-cut case of self-defense.
So why would anybody else look any further into it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the official narrative. And you read so you have Pat Camden, the spokesperson for the Fraternal Order of Police on the scene. But if you read the press release that went out under the superintendent's letterhead within hours of the incident, at a time when they had multiple civilian and police witnesses to the shooting, they knew they had the videotape, and they knew they had it. The autopsy was performed the next morning, but it doesn't take a long time to count to 16 to determine the condition of the body. All that information that we have, struggled over years to extract from the city, the police department and the city had, within hours, if not minutes, of the incident.
So the cops knew all along.
The cops knew. There were 9 officers there who and several officers who had behaved in exemplary fashion when they first got the call.
Right.
You saw that in the...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. They don't act aggressively, and Laquan was not acting aggressively. This thing was slowly defusing rather than escalating.
And they were doing... so it's one thing that gets lost, and we try to lift back up in the documentary, is the initial police response was exactly what we would want it to be.
Yeah.
If you lived in that neighborhood, if Laquan was your child and was wandering around in a sort of dislocated state of mind, this is the way you'd want the police to respond. They, you know, had all the time in the world. They were patient. It was a law enforcement occasion, a young man with a knife wandering
But nine
around.
Police officers know that he's shot multiple times. Maybe they know he was shot 16 times. Did their supervisors know that week how egregious the shooting was?
The within 24 hours, I believe the next day, the superintendent of, at the time, Gary McCarthy,
who spoke at length on this video to his everlasting dismay.
But he, but they, you know, they convened a meeting and they looked at the video.
They knew then,
and they found it a justified shooting.
Well, they said it was a justified shooting. Does Gary McCarthy to this day say it's a justified shooting?
He does in the documentary.
He does, and I'm wondering if afterwards or to the side, he said, well, this happens all the time. I said that, but what I really mean is this. He still stands by that?
He stands by that on the evidence of the documentary. I mean, I've certainly had other police officials pull me aside and say, you know, we know this was excessive. We acknowledge that this was excessive. But, you know, part of what I think is so tragic for the city is that we've had this process where you know, to all appearances, Jason Van Dyke lost it. Other officers confronted with the same circumstances didn't shoot. The situation was completely under control. And first the city and then the defense in the murder trial of Officer Van Dyke make the argument and go to great lengths, you know, using every possible strategy to make the argument that what we've all seen depicted in the video was lawful, justified within policy.
Because he was fearful for his life.
Because he was fearful for his life.
You know, it's also a revelation to me. You know, I followed this as closely as anybody, not as you, but by and large, I was a good student of this case. There's a lot in here I didn't know and could not have seen before. One of them is, who is the African-American gentleman who got a call shortly after the shooting from, was it the coroner's office? No, it was the funeral home.
Yeah.
And they said, there's a lot of holes in this kid. That doesn't match the story. And he said, take pictures of the body.
That's Pastor Hunter, Marvin Hunter, who's the great uncle of Laquan McDonald. And he really has been the spokesperson for the family and has kind of moved the process for the family.
Another thing that disturbed me was, and I'd heard about them, but not as clearly as you documented them, the father and the son and the Hispanic woman who were witnesses to it. And here, Elif, let's play cut two, is that woman describing how she witnessed it. And then when the police stopped her and said, what did you see? This was her experience.
The more I kept telling them of what I saw, they were trying to make me... They would tell me stuff like, well, we're watching the video and your story does not match. And I said, well, if it doesn't match, then, and you have a video, what am I doing here? And they said, well, you know, it's not good to lie. They really wanted me to change the story about how many shots I had heard. If I didn't tell them what they wanted to hear, I definitely thought I was going to go to jail.
Amazing. So she and another witness were held for 3.5 hours, I believe.
She got out at 4 a.m.
And subjected to, I mean, you can't call it an interview or an interrogation by the police, to this kind of badgering.
Change your story.
You can't have seen what you think you
saw. But did the cops then report what she said? Was that in the official report?
No.
So you guys found her version of that, which was not coincident with what the police said she said.
Right. No. So that's the, you know, and that's the story that the documentary really tries to tell, is all these different acts that were involved in maintaining a false narrative and that machinery. So, you know, it's too simple to call it a cover-up.
Well, but you ask Carol Maureen, not that she's the judge and jury, but she goes, yeah, I think this is a cover-up. I said, why did you preface that with I think? What does a cover-up look like to you if it doesn't look like this? But Gary McCarthy says, I don't think it was a cover-up.
But I would make the distinction, you know, in some ways, if you define, I understand why people use the word cover up, but if you define it narrowly, think President Nixon and Watergate, you know, it's a small group of co-conspirators who do something wrong, know they've done something wrong, and then they compound it by falsifying you know, suppressing information. And this was something I think I almost wish it were a cover up. This was standard operating procedure. Yeah. This was a machinery that has operated before. They had every expectation that it would operate this time. And for complicated reasons, it blew up.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what Mayor Emanuel did. How long, by the way, we'll take a break and you can answer these questions, but give me a short answer to this. What was the time between October 20th, 2014, the night that Laquan was shot, and we released the tape, everybody saw?
It was about 13 months. It was November, late November of 2015. And I first published in February of 2015.
Okay. I want to talk about Mayor Emanuel's response to it. I want to talk about the trial and the reaction to the trial. This Showtime documentary runs about 90 minutes. It's called 16 Shots. You know why. It's the story of the death of Laquan McDonald and then the trial of Jason Van Dyke. I would say the first two-thirds of it are about Laquan and what happened, and then the last 20, 30 minutes are about the trial itself. More questions for Jamie Calvin. He's the journalist who covered it, who got the tips, who really push this thing forward. He is the producer of 16 Shots. 16 Shots, the Showtime documentary, which will premiere on TV tonight, about the shooting death of Laquan McDonald. Second-degree murder was the conviction of Jason Van Dyke, the police officer who pulled the trigger that many times. 16 times. 16 Shots is the title. I watched it today. Eric Zorn, a colleague of mine on the Mincing Rascals podcast, saw it too. He's writing about it. By the way, this is an aside that's not that relevant, but gorgeous cinematography of the city.
Yeah, the filmmakers, Rick Rowley and his team, are fabulous.
It really is the highest quality. It's beside the point, but the city looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Or sinister, depending on what's happening. But you do certainly see Chicago, and it's a terrifically done film in every facet of the production. So finally, Mayor Emanuel then releases the tape, and the city shut down. I remember doors closed, locks locked, people getting dismissed early. You remember that, too.
It was an amazing moment.
Yeah. And then the announcement comes. So this was kind of an OJ moment, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that analysis?
Yeah. I mean, I think there I wasn't close to the OJ phenomena at the time, but it's an extraordinary thing when an entire city, you were describing the footage of the city in the film, the city is a character in this film. And there have been, several moments in the history we've all lived through over the last 4 years when virtually everybody in the city was focused on the same thing. The release of the video was one such moment. And the announcement of the verdict of second degree murder was another.
So we were here in the studio when that happened, but people were gathered around radios, and there's a scene where there's a group, it could have been a mixed crowd, but I think I saw mostly black faces in this video, of people literally gathered around a radio outside as the verdict is read in the courtroom.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Jason Van Dyke, guilty of second-degree murder.
What are we hearing there?
You're hearing incredible release of emotion. And when you see it on the film, you see people weeping, with relief and amazement, a sense of something of great consequence occurring. And this is, this is the first time a Chicago police officer has been found guilty of murder for an on-duty shooting of a civilian.
I've got a lot of notes about the movie here. We're out of time. And last comment from you about it.
Well, I think what we try to do in the movie is provide a perspective. There are a lot of different, a lot of different perspectives, but we're at a kind of watershed moment in the city right now. You might even describe this as the first post Laquan McDonald moment in, these last 4.5 years, where sort of a new chapter is beginning, and the film kind of looks back on where we've been, but also, there's some sense of what lies ahead and the sort of continuing.
Are you hopeful?
I am hopeful in the sense that I never expected there to be an opening like this.
Because of Lori Lightfoot?
No. I mean, I certainly wish Lori Lightfoot well and her administration. But, you know, this as turbulent as it's been and as much controversy has swirled around this case, to have this kind of historic opening where we're talking about fundamental issues of racial justice, of police community, you know, relationships between the state.
You think
citizens.
This is a game changer potentially?
I think it has been, in to the extent that we have an opportunity. We've all got to elevate our games to be worthy of the historical moment.
James Calvin, freelance journalist and producer of 16 Shots on TV Tonight. What time is it broadcast?
8 o'clock in Chicago.
Congratulations. Really well done.
Thank you very much.